Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Evening, Rush Nation. Welcome to the IDT show with me, Nate Davis, and him, Mr. Brendan Veal. How you doing, Bren? You happy with the old the draft? Got over all of that?
And, yeah.
Are you in your drafts now? Are you going draft crazy?
Yeah, we're starting to roll, isn't it? We're sort of, you know, we've got the best ball one kick off, and so we can get down to sort of proper bit of fantasy sort of draft business over the coming weeks, which, yeah, I think that's what we're all really looking forward to. Good sporting weekend. Went to King's Home Saturday, watched them put 64 points on Bath, and then me and the wife went up to Goodison Park to watch a rather tense win for Everton against Chelsea. So watched the stadium go mad afterwards, and Richarlison's probably going to get a 3-match ban for the end of the season for chucking that flare back into the stands. I was sat there watching the celebrations he launched. I was like, no, what are you doing? That was kind of my weekend, sort of busy. But down to business. A little chat about what happened last Thursday night stroke the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, so, enjoy the draft. I love it. It's one of my favourite things of the year, really. But I don't know. That green room couldn't be any further away from the main stage. I mean, geez, they just kept walking. I'm not quite sure about the hat thing with the mirror. I mean, that was all right, I suppose. But yeah, it just, after a while, you just think, God, oh, bloody hell. But there were some real good bits, some good players, some good people presenting, I suppose, from that point of view. I wasn't that impressed by Vegas as a whole. I was expecting a little bit more of a spectacle, and it didn't quite really hit the notes for me. But there you go, you know. Yeah.
It's a funny place, but it's a big event, like you say, but Vegas is so... Vegas, isn't it? I mean, it's supposed to be a sort of big song and dance event, and everything about Vegas is just so much more artificial than anything else in the States. And
but they just didn't. I just thought it would be a little bit more. I don't know. There was a falsified nature about they put it together really quite quickly. That's what it felt like to me. It was like those temporary walls that were put up where the players sort of like walked through.
What looked like AstroTurf up the walls. It's like, well, we haven't got time to paint them, so whack some of that up there.
Yeah, it looks all a bit rushed, but anyway,
you know. The TV crews right by the fountain, so where the winds blew in the wrong direction, everyone got wet and the notes were blowing everywhere, and you're like, I don't think you've really thought this all through, have you? But there you go.
What did you think of those early picks? I know we spoke last week, and you'd obviously jumped on the noise that Trevor Walker was going to go first, and he did.
Really, because that was all it was. It was noise. It was the bookies' favourite. I didn't disagree with your argument that, you know, Aiden Hutchinson should go off one based on the fact that he can, well, we'll touch on him in a minute, but you just, you know, I think the whole Trevon Walker thing, and there seemed to be all that disagreement in the Jags camp, who was making the pick, how much influence was the head coach having, and the whole thing seemed a little bit disjointed, but someone had obviously sort of made the call. And
he's a great player, and it just wasn't he wasn't number one for me, and then I know he wasn't number one for a lot of people. The people that are saying that now he possibly was number one for him, I'm not so sure I believe them. But it's just, you know, it is what it is, and they always, you know, you've got these teams that do shock you now and again. I mean, the Giants are quite notorious for doing it, but they weren't that shocking. I've got a couple of good close mates that are Giants fans, and they were absolutely delighted. To go Thibodeau and then Evan Neal was, that would have been a perfect 1-2 punch that you could have had group from. And
there's a few teams. The Giants are one. I liked the move they've made to come in and get Evan Neal.
Yeah, he needed it badly.
Done well. You know, IDP wise, you know, you're not going to see Sauce Gardner going off any of our sort of fantasy drafts that early, and for reasons we've discussed ad nauseum. The Eagles were like, you know, I like their first sort of pick up at sort of, you know, DC.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about N'Kobe Dean in a minute. I spoke to loads of people when it comes to whether predicted that the Eagles needed a linebacker, and I was quick to shut that down and say, well, they do, but I just don't see them using those early picks on him. And they didn't.
No.
But they still managed to get the first or second best linebacker in the draft, depending on your preference. But, I mean, wow, that was an absolute shocker for me. And I'll go into some of the stuff why that we found out now, or we think we found out. But yeah, that was a shocker. And the whole trade, I mean, we talked about it last week, and I said we were excited. We were excited about the draft, that there's a lot of stuff that could happen, and it didn't disappoint from the trading. People moving around constantly, up and down. Sometimes what made me laugh is the TV panels could not keep up with it. They could not keep up with what was going on. No. And the AJ Brown trade was, well, I think I missed about three picks straight after that. I was just open mind thinking, oh my God, what does this mean? Especially like I'm a big AJ Brown fan, and I've got him in quite a lot of leagues, and I still don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm really, really quite worried, because it felt safe. You kind of knew the volume that you would get. And now you're, oh my gosh, you've got to get behind Jalen Hurts and hope that he can deliver and service all these targets that he suddenly now has that he didn't have last year.
Nice problem to have. But yeah, I mean, like you say, I mean, after the Evan Neal sort of, you know, after the Giants move, and then, yeah, from sort of round, picks 9-10, like you say, it was people chopping and changing. Yeah. And so, yeah.
What was your feeling on the QB? Before we go defense mad, what was your feeling on the QBs? I mean, did you feel that actually sort of like common sense prevailed? That's what it felt like to me. I just thought...
Yeah, I think so, because we touched on, you know, all the talk about, you know, well, the Panthers, you know, could be the sort of first person. I didn't see it. I didn't see him going from someone like Malik Willis.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny Pickett was nailed. It was the worst kept secret probably in the draft. It was accepted. You know, he's a Michigan boy. He was going to go to, you know, he was going to go to the Steelers.
I love that. I think it works well, and it works well for what the Steelers, how they run their offense, and the fact that they invested hugely in running the football last year, and now they've got a quarterback that they can rely on to do the, you know, the sort of simple stuff, not be too overly flashy, do your job, do it well, hit your targets, you know, and then yeah, we'll be in a decent place. And I think
the one thing, although he's in the most snaps, he's the most experienced, and that's what the Steelers need. They don't need a project. They need someone that can come in, replace Big Ben. Anyway, Slice, I know he's not regarded as the most elusive quarterback.
Smaller hands than me.
But anyway, you slice it, my concern with the Steelers is that O-line's still very questionable. So. Yeah. What you need, I mean, anyone's going to move better than you know, Big Ben. So anything from that perspective is going to be an upgrade. You just need someone with a bit of mobility to try and get, you know, to try and hit those targets, to offload to Najee Harris, to, you know, just a bit of, you know, I still think they're in a big transitional period at the moment, the Steelers.
Wow, wide receiver is really interested there as well, isn't it? With Pickens going there, and he's the other guy that went there as well, not long after him, Austin, he went there as well. And for me, that's, I think Claypool read it out, didn't he actually read one of the picks, which was a wide receiver on day two. So that was quite weird.
I think whether they chuck, you know, the, whether they chuck Kenny in to begin with or whether they try sort of rolling with Mitch for a.
I think they will.
I think they might. Yeah, I don't think it would be any shock. It, like you say, he's got plenty of targets. Obviously, you know, Juju's moved on, but
I would do it that way. Wouldn't you? I would roll with him first because of the kind of guy that he is as well. It's not like I don't feel like you're completely rolling the dice. So, I mean, you put him in, see how he goes, and then you know you've got Mitch can come in. Mitch can do a job. He can definitely do a job. And, you know, he can put pressure on quarterbacks. He knows how to do that.
I think that's going to be what sort of Mike Tomlin's thinking. So, I don't think anyone sensible really expected much to happen with the QBs. So.
I'm not sure I sort of buy the, third round QB talk of saying, oh, that's it then. Third round QBs don't materialise. I get that if you're looking at all the stats. However, this draft felt a little bit different from that. It felt like teams were seeing how far they could push those quarterbacks back, if you know what I mean. They were waiting. And then the jostling sort of like, soon as one went, then somebody moved up behind to make sure that then they got, you know what I mean? It was a little bit of cat and mouse going on. And I felt that pushed the quarterbacks, Malik Willis. It was the other one, Sam Howell. Was it Sam Howell that came off around there as well? And Matt Corral. So, I mean, yeah, there was with those teams that need, I mean, it was a shocker for me that Willis went to Tennessee. And I don't know what that. I mean, I've taken Malik Willis really early in one of my drafts. But it's a super flex league. I have two starting QBs, and I need to just invest in QBs, and that's what I'm doing. And I know people say, "Well, it's not the greatest strategy," but I was actually stacked at wide receiver, and I was looked at the running backs. Obviously, Walker and Breece Hall have gone off early doors. And I looked at the wide receivers and thought, I don't need a shot in the dark here on not a shot in the dark because they're very good wide receivers, but whether they'll actually get the wide receiver one job, you know what I mean? You're taking that punt. What I would rather do is throw a dart at a QB at the moment. But anyway, moving on from that, and all the talk, I mean, it's driving me bloody mental at the moment. God, Twitter is just incredible. People are saying they're so sure on various players at this moment in time, and they weren't a week ago, and now they've got a landing spot that they like. They're suddenly like, oh, he's, and I'm like, no. Go back to what you said. Go back to the talent. Look at that. I hate this part of of people overvaluing the landing spot and forgetting that a player was picked in the second, third round, and they will be put in that status when they get into training camp. You know, they will be. They won't just be thrown straight into the mix because Dave has said he's a great wide. Anyway, so moving on. So what happened to me? So straight after the draft, I got in with the Dynasty Nerd guys, and there was a big group of us, and we drafted I can't remember what time it was, but it was pretty much straight after so the draft had sort of finished, and we had a defensive only draft, and there's some big names in there. I don't need to read them all out. And we started taking players off the board, and what we're going to do is I'm going to go through that draft, especially the top 10, quickly just go off that top 10. And then what we'll do is we'll pick those players. So in this draft, Kevon Thibodeau went at one, Aiden Hutchinson went at two, Devin Lloyd went at three, Kyle Hamilton went at four. Don't quite agree with that one, but whatever. N'Kobe Dean went at five, Kalafdis went at six, Quay Walker went at seven. Lewis Seen went at eight. Again, don't quite agree with that because they're DBs and it is bloody early to do that for me. Travon Walker went at nine. Boye Mafe went at 10. I'm not a big fan of his. Jermaine Johnson went at 11. And I took Arnold Ebikete, pass rusher at Atlanta Falcons at 12, which is quite early, but I thought it was good value. Christian Harris, I just mentioned him. He went at 11, and I like Christian Harris. I think great landing spot for him at Houston. So what I'm going to concentrate is those sort of top, what we'll call those top six players that went off. Push Hamilton out, because I think that's too early for him. But we're going to go Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, Devin Lloyd, Nakobe Dean, Kalafdis, and I'll do a bit on Quay Walker. Only quick little 5 minute sort of segments on them all. I mean, you can, if you want to talk a bit longer on ones you've got a bit more notes on, Bren, that crack on. But yeah, I mean, should we start with off that list? Should we start with Thibodeau?
Start at number one. Yeah, well, yeah, start at the beginning. So yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit about a few of these players before coming on. Nate's already mentioned sort of the landing spot. I like this one. This is one of my favourites, definitely. Not just because of the player, but so I mean, let's touch on the landing spot for each of them a little bit, but yeah. And what the teams needed out of this draft. So you know, the Giants came into this as sort of the 22nd ranked defense from last season. Far from the worst, but there were issues that definitely needed addressing. They've been weak against the run. The pass rush was poor, ranked 27th against the pass last season. The edge options last season were okay. They were fairly average. So looking at, you know, Aziz Ojulari, finished linebacker 44.
Rookie year,
only 21, so we've got to be fair to the kid. And then on the other side, sort of Lorenzo Carter again. They had very similar seasons, finishing sort of LB 44 and LB 46, respectively. Numbers were very, very much the same. But the Giants team was crying out for a quality, you know, quality edge rusher, you know, more so than some other teams that people were banging on about, the Lions being one of them, who we'll touch on. Yeah, and I think he's a great fit for this Giants team. I mean, and I said to Nathan before we came on, I think he's perfect for that Giants fan base. You know, a bit of a character. He could quickly become a cult hero there at sort of, you know, in New York. You know, he's quick, he's physical, he's got good balance, he's got good snap count anticipation. And if he hits the ground running and causes an early impact, these Giants fans are going to be right behind him. Okay, you know, some of the criticism says, you know, he's maybe a little bit rough around the edges, maybe not quite, you know, not as quite as sort of ready to go as maybe an Aiden Hutchinson, who I know, you know, as Nate said, should go off one. But a bit of polishing, bit of coaching, I think he slots in very nicely. The rookie we've just mentioned, Ojulari, on the other side, being fair, you know, he is just a youngster. We might see a bit more from, with those sort of two guys slotted in, maybe a bit more from the likes of sort of Leonard Williams. They've got a bit of a hole to plug with Austin Johnson having gone to the Chargers. And then obviously behind that, you've got, Tate Crowder had a decent sort of season linebacker, but you've got Blake Martinez coming back in, who's the big sort of, you know,
wardrobe.
Almost like, yeah. But those two sat behind them. And then, you know, even going further back, you've got, you know, W. McKinney, you know, at safety. So I think it's a great landing spot. I like the player. I think the fans are going to love him in New York. I just see it being a really, really, really good fit. And I think, you know, with him being a distraction, you talk about how it might impact on other players. You know, a youngster like Ojulari coming into his sophomore season, you know, they're going to keep him thinking about it, you know, where the threat's coming from. You could see an uptick from Ojulari this season, maybe pushing into, you know, into that top 40, you know, top 30. But, you know, certainly you'll see progression from him this season. Yeah. I think Thibodeau sort of slots right in, hits the ground running.
I totally agree with you. I think that Thibodeau is, for me, that kind of guy that has got, it just oozes that personality. And I think that's where the Giants really lacked just more leaders, really. There was games where they just looked defeated pretty early on, where they all needed picking up. And sometimes you look across that, you look across the players that were around and on that field, and I just felt at times I just need a personality, somebody that has got a bit of zoom about him. And I do think Thibodeau is that guy. I do think that he's people say a little bit light for an edge, and just a little bit. I don't know. I think that, like you said, there's work to do there. He's definitely not a finished, polished article, far from it. But he's gonna. They've invested now. He's got that job. It's a good job to get. It's potentially that the Giants could become a really good defense, and he could be a part of that, and actually the main part of it. And I feel like you said with Ojulari, that there's going to be players that could really benefit from it. And talking about where his draft, it's interesting that somebody's taken him off the board first. Not sure whether I would. Well, I know I wouldn't do that. I probably would go for Devin Lloyd from the linebacker stance, just because I feel there's a little bit more of a pocket of edge rushers, especially with these guys that have just come out. I think that there'll actually be quite a few. When linebacker wise, not sure. I don't think it's deep, and I just feel that Devin Lloyd is going to be a real big piece there for Jacksonville moving forward. But anyway, so Thibodeau, bang on. The next one up was Aiden Hutchinson. He went two in the draft, and he went two on our mock. Just quickly, again, said I've got no problem. I wouldn't have gone Thibodeau before Hutchinson, and I would have probably gone, like I said, Lloyd in front of both of them. But that's the way I draft. Now, between the top three there, though, all I would say was there's, for me, not enough between any of them to be able to say he's your one, he's your two, he's your three. Would have not a problem, any of them. One of those going to, you know, one of them's going to have a better season than the other one, and that's the fact of it. There's not enough evidence or anything that jumps out of you to say that guy should be one, two, or three. Not in my eyes. So go on then, talk about Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, well, I mean, a bit more of, I think in most people's eyes, a bit more of a sort of finished entity. But, I mean, you talk about a team, you know, again, you go back to the landing spot, you talk about a team in need of, well, okay, Detroit, a team in need of lots of things. And we've got to look at that sort of defense from last year. I mean, you know, 31st in points conceded, you know, 29th sort of yards per game. They were giving up nearly 30 points a game, nearly 400 yards a game. And it was just a bad defense, really. And they were 31st in sort of pressures, QB pressures. And that's the one that sort of stands out when you're talking about, you know, why they brought someone like Aiden Hutchinson in. I mean, they only managed 197 total QB pressures last season. Jesus Christ, Max Crosby alone managed 101. And that's just one player. So, you know, they're low down in sacks. So, you know, and you, again, I'll go back to looking at what they've currently got there, and just, you know, it's fairly self-evident that they were going to go for an edge with that early pick they had. Best of the bunch last season, Charles Harris, who, you know, I think is all right. You know, he is the best of the bunch, but he didn't, going back to our mock draft, I mean, he wasn't anywhere near it, and he wouldn't have been. And that just sums up the problem that the Lions have got just in that one particular position. Mm. Finished up DL31, and outside that, you've got Austin Bryant. Well, he's just nowhere near relevant.
Aquarius back as well, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he will be back as well. So I think they've got, I do think they've got a good, they've certainly got an upgrade on last season, potentially at this moment in time, to say that, yeah, and obviously with Hutchinson, the only thing that does concern me slightly is, and again, you shouldn't do it because it doesn't, but if he is so much noise around him, you know, our team's going to target stopping him over the top, put their absolute massive guy up against him constantly, you know, just to try and, I know that's like, it doesn't really play out like that, but that's the only concern that I've got with Thibodeau. yeah, you know, you people will have to be aware of other players at this moment in time.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And it's, I mean, you know, people have taken him because he's, you know, everyone argues that he is sort of the most likely out of all those edges coming off the board last week to hit the ground running. You know, he's stubborn. He's got good hands. I think that where the Lions will benefit is, you know, going back over what he's done so far in college, he seems very versatile. He's quite happy playing in different sort of fronts, you know, 4-3-3-4. You know, he can sort of slot in and be quite adaptable. And as you touched on, if he's going to be targeted, maybe that's something the Lions might have to address early doors.
They quite like mixing it up. They had no problem with mixing up all their schemes last year. So, I mean, yeah, I'm excited to see what the Lions, you know, start to come up with defensively as well around him. Because, I mean, they're not the worst. They're far from the worst sort of defense in the way they go about their business. Sometimes they can be very difficult. Yeah, and the thing is like in games as well where they were already out of it. They had some real random games last season on stuff. This year they'll be looking for a lot more stability offensively as well. Detroit as a whole, and they should do because they've got a lot more weapons. Hell of a lot more weapons.
Yeah.
And I think that, but it should all play in better for Detroit, just generally getting over that hill of being the sort of whipping boys. And Hutchinson's a great signing.
Yeah. And I think it was a no brainer because, as we said, I mean, he's starting from a pretty high floor. I think everyone recognizes that. He may not, okay, you know, you go back to sort of Trevon Walker and the Jags taking what some people perceive as a bit of a punt. Because of his sort of raw athleticism, and they're sort of banking on him hitting that, you know, the heights that they sort of, you know, anticipate. But the Lions need someone in that line that is just going to hit the ground running in September, give the offense something else to think about, you know. So it was kind of it was one of those early picks that I think most people had fairly nailed on when you looked at the team and what was available to them. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, good fit, good pick. No problem with that.
Okay, so what I'll do now, so the next one off is Devon Lloyd. Devon Lloyd was, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sum up. I'm going to go through all three linebackers that I've got. So how I put together my linebackers pre-draft, as people might know, that I didn't do a massive amount pre-draft on players because I'm not that way inclined, but I did the top five. Top 10, I did do quite a bit on, really. I just didn't want to post my views too early on. Devon Lloyd was my number one off the bat. It's not much between him and N'Kobe Dean, but he was my number one from Utah. I mean, he is one of the most complete linebackers that I've seen for a while, really, in what he can do. I mean, he finished last year with 110 tackles, as 22 tackles for a loss, 8 sacks and 4 interceptions. So you've got a guy that is pretty much doing absolutely everything there. And the Jags need that. Their signing of Foyse Adeleukon is, they paid him a lot of money, and he's going to be a pretty much every down linebacker, but I think Devon Lloyd is as well. They signed Chad Muma as well, who I really, really liked. And now I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what is going to happen to that poor guy who I know Mike Woolhurt, who I listen to a lot, had him as number one linebacker. So he's really confused about what the hell to do with him. But yeah, back to Devon Lloyd. Great pickup for me. And he is number one linebacker because of lots of things. Like I said, he's a complete linebacker, and he is also, the landing spot is particularly quite good. Lloyd is going to go very early on draft boards, and rightly so, in my opinion, as I mentioned earlier. He does still seem to be going number three in most draft boards, but behind Hutchinson and Thibodeau, and that's absolutely right. That's absolutely fine, but it depends on the scoring formats that you're looking at. I think people in the sack heavy leagues will go for you, they'll go for your edges, but if it's tackles that you're after and more an all-round linebacker, I think Devon Lloyd's going to be your guy. So looking at the Jags, the landing spot, and him going to the Jags, obviously the Jags are a new unit, a new team, and a new guy, and they are going to be completely different to 2021. But their linebackers in 2021 were absolutely woeful. Damian Wilson, Miles Jack just couldn't get anything done. It just didn't work. They were poor in coverage. They were poor missed tackle stacks, especially from Wilson. And they played two linebackers majority of the time. But in this new look defense, like I said, it won't really make any difference. They will be doing exactly the same again. You will see a few three. I'm sure you will. We've got Mike Caldwell is the is in charge of the defense, and he is he was the linebacker coach at Tampa, and he was 15 years, I think, it was linebacker himself. So linebackers could reign supreme in Jacksonville, and Devin Lloyd is the guy. After him, I went number two was my man, N'Kobe Dean. And N'Kobe Dean, he just slipped down that draft board. And he went to pick 83 in round eight. I mean, just going back to say that Lloyd went 27th overall to the Jags. He wasn't the first linebacker off the board. I'll talk about him in a minute. But to go to 83 and in round three, that was huge. So why did he fall so far? Reports are saying that it was a pectoral injury. He didn't go for surgery and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that isn't what N'Kobe Dean said. He has said that he's fit and that's a lot of rubbish and all this kind of stuff. But there must have been something there. There is no smoke without fire. So, you know, you do have to temper expectations when you're picking up N'Kobe Dean that he could be missing some time. However, even his landing spot, I would still draft him high. I would still draft him high because he is a fantastic linebacker. And actually at the Eagles, that is quite a good landing spot long term for him. I mean, you got to look at TJ Edwards. He could end up as a free agent at the end of this year. We've got 1 year deal because Kazir White's on, and Davion Taylor's just not really the guy. So this is N'Kobe Dean's defense potentially is going to be there. And so the landing spot's exceptional from that point of view. It's just this first year, whether we're going to see him miss time or not. It's crazy. Now, as you know, Brendan, obviously you know I bang on. I'm a big TJ Edwards fan, and I am, but he's not at the level of N'Kobe Dean, just athleticism, nowhere near it. I like TJ Edwards, like I said, and I really like him for this year. I think he is the one. Kazir White, coverage, excellent year last year. He's the two, but I would temper your expectations because N'Kobe Dean, if he's fit, he's going to be involved there, and I'm not sure what that means for either of them, to be fair. But TJ Edwards would still be my safer play in that one. So in IDP mocks I've seen him going between the 1-5 and the 1-7 after Thibodeau, Hutchinson, Lloyd, Hamilton, and Kara Laftis, as we said. So he's mid first at this moment in time, and I think that's a good pickup and good value if you're getting him there. Obviously, that's IDP only. You wouldn't pay a mid first for him, but if say it's third round, I think N'Kobe Dean is a good pickup for you. So just quickly, I know I'm just rambling on about the linebackers, but they kind of come, all three of them are really good to talk about together for me, because it was quite interesting the fact that Quay Walker went off. He went 22nd overall to the Packers. Disruptive, aggressive, and decent in coverage. So, again, another guy that can do it all, and a great pickup by Green Bay. I was a bit shocked that they went linebacker so early. Not saying they don't need it. They do, but they weren't bad last season. Devondre Campbell was excellent. And now you've got a plus coverage linebacker that's going to be alongside him, I like it. I like it a lot. And I like Quay Walker there. I think that's going to be even more fun to watch. Like those two next to each other. I expect him to go, I'm seeing him go one, like I said, sort of seventh off the board out of the defensive players. And so end of the first in that off draft boards. Talking about Green Bay as a defensive unit, they went with two linebackers 63% of the time last season, and the rest was a single linebacker. That is the only scary point to add in here. And that might make him fall slightly when more people sort of realise that. Chris Barnes, Owen Burks, these are the guys that that Walker sort of got beat out, and I don't think he's got any problems with doing that. So the only risk is that single linebacker usage for me. That's the only risk. I think Quay Walker is a really good pickup. And all three of those, like I said, and N'Kobe Dean's the real weird one. If you can afford to hold him, then you can take him wherever you want to take it. You know, take him as high up as you want to take him. If you're looking for somebody to hit the ground running, it might be a little bit of a risk. That's the only thing for N'Kobe Dean. And then, therefore, I get why you might drop out. But yeah, so what's your views on the linebackers, Brent? Have you got any ones that stand out in those three that you put you particularly?
The Devin Lloyd. But wait, I mean, I don't need to say any more about Devin Lloyd because I mean, you've sort of and I think in that too, they had that dual sort of setup at the Jags with Foyside. That should be sort of good fun to watch. On the Eagles side of it, it's interesting that if they've picked him up that late and he's, you know, they can sort of ease him in and, you know, do they need to, you know, they can go into the season maybe not worrying so much about what happens with the Edwards sort of contract situation.
I just wouldn't be surprised if it turned out to be the steal of the draft. But I don't understand. I mean, how can he go? I mean, everybody had him going, well, some people had him going really quite early in N'Kobe Dean. And I think definitely like in the 20s, 20s, 30, that he was around back end of that first round by pretty much everybody. And some people had him going slightly earlier, but definitely not a day two, just dropping out of the first round. And for everybody to pass on him again was the shocker for me. And I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. Even so, there's a lot of teams out there that I felt that really needed linebacker help that just passed on him and picked up others. There's some really good players in behind linebacker-wise that have gone off. I mean, even just before him, Christian Harris dropped at the Texans at linebacker. Now, I think that's remarkable. I like don't get me wrong. I really like him, but I mean to take him over Devin Lloyd that late on was N'Kobe Dean was quite a shocker for me. And then the Eagles to come and pick him up was like, whoa, hello. Very, very interesting stuff.
And the fact that the Eagles were able to slot him in behind, you know, I mean, the first pick that I really liked in sort of Jordan Davis as well. I'm already sort of starting to quietly bang on about this Eagles team already, a bit like we did last season. As you say, I mean, you touched on the sort of the injury concern, and you're like, well, have they really, you know, were some teams reading more into that than there was?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because the thing is was it a rumour?
You get to see teams like we did a couple of years ago, and, you know, everyone's, you know, to his hips, knackered and all the rest of it. But I think if a team's in on a player, especially that early, I mean, you know, the Dean
situation. It's difficult. It's difficult on draft boards as well, because the thing is, and like I said about the line, about the quarterbacks, I agree. I know what people say about, you know, your sort of draft stock and where you are when they get picked in the third, fourth round and stuff. And then therefore I've looked at the stats and only X percent make it from that point. And I get that. I really do. But sometimes when you look at those individual drafts, there is a pattern to it and there is something that slightly happens. N'Kobe Dean's is quite interesting because I wonder whether, like, it was that people passed and then somebody else passed and somebody else passed. And then before you know it, like, they're going, well, we should pass because they know something that obviously, you know, it was really obvious. It was really obvious that, and I hope for N'Kobe Dean's sake that it isn't anything, you know, that he hasn't covered. I can't see that it is. I just think, yeah, maybe there is an operation that he potentially could have gone for and he may miss some time this year. But
as you say, I mean, because of the landing spot, that's not, you know, that shouldn't, okay, you know, in a redraft and or anything like
you
that.
You could say, like I've picked out the Texans, okay, you're going to say that somebody would probably turn around to me and go, well, yeah, but the Texans need help now. And I totally agree. Get that. Absolutely get it. And from that point of view, yeah. Absolutely, but it's just the value. It's just to pass on him, and if they find out that he was, I mean, some teams are going to have to be kicking themselves if they find out that he's fit, and he comes out there and he's fine. I mean, that is a steal for the Eagles. We'll wait and see on that one. So yeah, that concludes what we're going to cover off today. No, you've got one more, haven't you?
Yeah, we're just going to. Yeah, so Kalaftis, it was. I mean, I know there was a lot of noise from some of the fans out of Arrowhead, sort of banging on about we've got to go into the draft. There's a good, you know, bank of wide receivers there. We've got to go and pick up a, you know, maybe not a ready made, but we've got to sort of plug the hole left by Tyreek. And yeah, okay, fair enough, but. I think they've addressed. I mean, I think they'll have been really pleased to see sort of Big George sort of drop down and be able to pick him up at 30. Because despite, I mean, the Chiefs' defense was not great by any standard last season. They had a terrible start to the season. You know, certainly in the first 5 weeks, they were giving up way too many points. You know, but the 12-5 record in the offense. Yeah. Kind of sort of papered over a lot of the defensive cracks. And Nathan and I went back to our sort of recent mock draft that we did over the last sort of 3 weeks. And okay, you've got a 12-5 team, but only one defensive player, Nick Bolton, went off. And he didn't go off terribly early for a variety of reasons, which we won't get into now. There was certainly no sign of, you know, you look at what they had at edge last season. Okay, Melvin Ingram, that's still a little bit up in the air. There's a lot of noise that they're going to sort of bring him back in. And I think there's a good reason for doing that because Kalaftis is arguably not going to be, you know, he's not going to start. You know, they've, okay, on the other side, Frank Clark, well, he finished up DL98. Yeah, neither of us are particularly interested in Frank. So I completely understand, you know, why the Chiefs went in and got him. Like I said, they may have expected someone to take him a little bit early because, as Nate touched on, there was so much noise about a lot of these edge players coming in. And the feeling was that there were so many teams that were desperate to improve sort of the pass rush, they needed to improve it. You know, in terms of the player, I mean, you know, good engine, good hands. You know, he likes to stalk, you know, he likes to get to sort of QBs. And I think there was definitely a hole there to plug at the Chiefs, as I've said. Whether he, I mean, as opposed to, you know, Hutchinson and Thibodeau, we've sort of covered off.
I suppose he just doesn't have the same tool set like of those guys, but he's just.
No, but as I said to you earlier, I think the interesting thing would be, I think they've got to bring Ingram back for that experience. You know, he's still a free agent at the moment, and that's a no-brainer because there's just very little, if anything else, there in terms of sort of that edge side of things.
Because they moved Chris Jones around.
Moved around.
Need to do that.
No, Chris Jones was moved around purely because of lack of quality options elsewhere across that line.
Yeah, I think when Ingram turned up, that was when it all sort of like looked better, didn't it, for the Chiefs?
Yeah. So that, you know, they gave them the option to, you know, for Jones to sort of play just inside of Clark.
But touching on, you know, the only, obviously it's a Spags defense, and you know, linebacker-wise, a bit of a bloody nightmare, as you sort of semi-touched on, the fact that we know snap count, the fact that they sort of share it around a bit, and there's quite a lot of them, and now they've added Leo Chanel, who has also joined that group, which I like him. Not particularly fond of that landing spot, because, again, he goes into that group of linebackers that it's not going to be great. But Kalafdis, I like the landing spot because, like you said, there is no one else really that I think he could. I really think he can be there, and he could be a bit of a force on the Chiefs. And I think, yeah, they haven't. They're crying out for it. They who did they took? They took was it Corner McDuffie? They took in front of him, didn't they? And then they took Kalafdis. That was it. They had the two Trent McDuffie. I think they drafted, just quickly looking at what they totally drafted. I thought they drafted quite well. The Chiefs, I quite liked it. Obviously,
yeah, I think generally, and I think if the Frank Clark, will he come straight? I think the simple thing is, a lot will, in terms of how much he figures next season, I think everything hinges on how well this defense starts. You know, if they have a sort of week one, two, three, you know, like they did at the start of the 21 season, I don't think they'll hesitate on pulling the trigger and bringing him in, you know, to play a fair number of snaps early doors. Basically, because he's got the raw tools to do it.
Yeah,
they have almost no other option, really. So
the issue is against the run, and the fact that he will be up against, you know, Eckler, Javonte Williams, these kind of guys that you just look at and you think, yeah, that's where he's going to sort of. But, you know, you'll see him come off the field for that, and then the pass rush opportunities there is going to be.
Something this Chiefs defense has got to address this season. They, in terms of sort of the yards they conceded last season, you know, to be 27th in the league, they were just too soft.
You know,
way too soft. The teams were getting through them, as you said, way too easily.
I think that there'll be something around that secondary as well. So I think you'll see. I do think you're going to see a bit more fire from them this year. Mm. I think that they're sort of geared up for that. Chanel's one of those kind of players as well. You know, he's quite a mean guy. And it's that kind of, you know, like you said, you've hit the nail on the head when you talk about him being a bit more aggressive. And those two guys particularly are a bit more in your face. And that could be what you need. And as I mentioned, the players that they're going to be playing, one of those is a Russell Wilson and all that. Yeah, get in his face. Get those sacks. Push them back. Make him go long. So it's going to be, I think it's a good fit. I think it's a good fit. But yeah, the only thing is that they may have been able to, they're never going to push up too far, but they might have been able to. I do just worry slightly on the run defense a bit for them, just a little bit. I just think that, Kalafdis obviously isn't the guy, so then they don't really address that issue that they've got. But we'll see. We'll see what Spags mixes up in his cauldron. But yeah, we'll see.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the guys we're covering off, those six we concentrated on this week. We will... I'm away the next two, really. I might try and get something done not next week, the week after, but we'll see. And then we're going to have a look at what our plans are moving into the real off season, the real draft season, as it all starts to kick off. It's crazy already. I mean, I've been changing dates on drafts today of the leagues. Stupidly, I was like that. I looked at when we were drafted on a few of the leagues that I'm running, and I was like, oh, yeah. I think I'm meant to be. Oh, I'm traveling mostly that day. That'll be a bloody nightmare.
Popular with the family.
Yeah, I push that back. There's loads of good content going out at the moment. Again, from our guys. But from us, us, we will be away for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll join you guys again to discuss some of the up-and-coming drafts and some of the leagues as they start to kick off. And yeah, and then we'll do a bit more. We will do a bit more on rookies once we've, especially on the lower rounds ones, once we've got, I don't know, the madness has settled. We need the madness to settle at the moment. People are whipping off people out of the, taking people off drafts with nothing backing them, just the fact that they've heard that he's a good guy and that looks half a decent landing spot. And you're like, oh, I just, there needs to be a little bit more thought in it at this stage. I know some of the guys in the IDP community, I see the Fantasy and Frames guys are just about to get their stuff out. Obviously I'm part of the Dynasty Rewind crew now. So we've been banging out stuff left, right and center. But IDP guys, there's loads coming out from them. Mike Wooler and Tom Kislinbury put out their read and react stuff from Tom. And that was excellent what he's put together there. I think Macri's put together his big board of players already. So he must have been working his ass off to get that done in this time. Fair play to those guys. But there's some great stuff. If you're getting into IDP, check out, just get involved, sign up for everything, get on our stuff, but get on their stuff as well. And then, you know, you'll become better for it. So that's it. You got anything else to add, Bren?
No, like you said, I think it'd be nice to, I mean, we are into that sort of, you know, from a personal point of view, you know, holiday season and it's nice to be able to go abroad again. So yeah, Nate's got a bit of time off. I'm away sort of end of May, but we'll do our damnedest to try and, you know, put something together over the next sort of couple of weeks. Would be quite nice, like you say, now it's just give it a little time, let the dust settle. You know, maybe it would give us a chance to maybe delve down into the draft a little bit sort of deeper. And like you said, have a look at some of those later rounds and you know, really see, I mean, you touched on one going off third, sort of a bit of someone who shouldn't have slipped, but maybe look at, you know, a few players that we really like as a bit of hidden talent from more of a dynasty point of view.
I've got a little list that I'm building and it's based on, there's a few guys that have landed in particular spots that are now raising eyebrows to think to yourself, okay, this guy could be the guy, somebody like Troy Anderson, who's landed at the Falcons. That's very, very interesting. Alucon's gone. He could step in. Mikhail Walker would take a hit if he does. But you know, these kind of examples of players where, there's loads to talk about. However, I'm going to do a bit more. I'm going to do more work on these guys before I'm confident to call it, to try and make a prediction on it, because it's very much prediction based at the moment. People are just shooting off at this moment in time. But anyway, right, that's us done. Have a great couple of weeks. And we'll see you when you get back. And remember, keep rushing.
See you soon, guys.